6, verses 30 to 34. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves to a boat in a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Good morning. I invite you to pray with me and for me as we turn to reflect upon God's word before us. Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts of today, for your nurture for all of us. Lord, as we're in this time of year where the pace changes, we have the opportunity at times to really take in your goodness and be at rest in spaces where we can take in your creation and just the goodness of vacation and summer. Help us, Lord, to use our time before us to really encounter you and to share that encounter of you with others. These are gifts in our lives, and the season ahead of us is truly a gift. So today, as we reflect upon your word, help us to see some priorities for summertime, or perhaps even our vacations. Help us to hear you and see you and share your goodness, no matter where we are. Transform our hearts, Lord, so that we can be a part of the ongoing transformation of the world that you are doing each and every moment. Pray this prayer in the powerful name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Summertime. We're starting a new series today, and it's entitled Taking the Church on Vacation. Taking the Church on Vacation. Maybe not a thought you have. We're going to unpack this a little bit today. I'm just returning from a couple weeks of vacation this week myself, coming back to the flow of all the work and the emails and the catch-up that you do when you come back from vacation. It's a joy to be back. There's a lot to do. We had a great time as a family. We did a car trip this year, so we spent, I counted, over 38 hours in the car with three generations and a dog. And we still like each other, and it was fun. I got a picture of us from the trip up here. That's my husband, my daughters, my mother. We were going out on a little dolphin cruise. We're in the bay there at Destin on the Gulf. We came down the coast, spent some time in South Carolina, went over to St. Augustine, cut across Florida, went to Destin, Santa Rosa area, up through Alabama, Tennessee, back into Virginia, and had a great time. So vacation, and how we take our faith and our church on vacation. For my family, it's been about a year. If you remember, last summer we were in the midst of packing our lives and coming to Herndon to be your pastors here. My husband and I, family in major transition last summer, so we did do a family vacation. This was our first family vacation since 2022. And so we had a lot of anticipation to be together, to be across those generations, and to have some good time together. And we did. We really did. For Bert and I, in that space where you do have multi-generations in the car for a lot of hours and moving together, one of the things that we felt called to do was recharge and to be together, to actually relax and fill our souls with all the things that refresh us and restore us as pastors. My husband's a pastor over at Sterling United Methodist Church. And so on our first Sunday away, two Sundays ago, June 2nd, Bert and I decided to pull away from the family, find our own place to worship, and worship together. We were in St. Augustine at that time. So downtown St. Augustine, we found a lovely Methodist church in the historic part of the town. We picked it because it was inclusive and it was pastored by a clergy couple. We thought, this will be cool just to go and worship with this United Methodist congregation right there in St. Augustine. And so I was looking forward. I was looking forward, after a long year, just being in worship and not having to lead or preach and just being refreshed, and went into this beautiful historic sanctuary and sat down and met one of the pastors of the clergy couple, and I sensed that there was just some heaviness in the room and some stress in this church on this day. Turns out it was their first day of summer worship, and they combined all their services into one. And they were trying to do traditional worship and modern worship in the same space. And I can sense the pastoral tension on that, of how they were trying to navigate that whole flow, if you can imagine. I've done this in other places. And there's just a tension. And I thought, I don't know what's going on here, but something is a little bit off. I also thought about Florida and the United Methodist Church this summer. There are so many churches in Florida. We know a bishop there, where a lot of them had left the denomination. This was an inclusive church, but I had to wonder, like, is there still some remnant of some of that within this church as I sat, or you sit this morning, in the seats? And I just looked around, and I sensed something. So I went with an expectation to rest and not be a pastor and just kind of be filled. And what I found myself doing in that service was being called to pray for that church. Like, something's kind of, they're working through something here. They had a lot of good things going on. Summer plans for mission and get together and dinners. They were talking about all that. But my heart was like, you need to pray for those pastors. And you need to pray for this church this summer. They're doing a new thing, and we're in a new season in United Methodism. And you're probably here today, Gina, to pray, to serve them with your prayers. And that's what I did. I share that story with you because we're talking today about what it means to take faith on vacation. And we're looking at an example of Jesus and the disciples, of where they're trying to get away for some rest. So we're going to talk about it in two ways. One, Jesus recognizes our need to rest. We'll talk about that. Our need to rest and recharge and even have leisure. But also, as we do that, as we go into the space of vacation like I've been in, there's a place and a time that we're called to open up our hearts and look with the eyes of Christ and still take our faith into that space and place. And we see this with Jesus. So we had a wonderful reading from Mark chapter 6. And Jesus has been doing it a lot. Jesus says here, you see the scripture, this is kind of key scripture for the day. This is the words of Christ. Jesus says to the disciples, come away with me to a deserted place and we'll be all by ourselves, for we need to rest for a while. And then Mark goes on and writes this important part. He says, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even to eat. This is the disciples of Jesus. They've been working hard at this point in Mark's gospel. We'll unpack this a little bit. Think about Jesus having all these people in his ministry coming and going, he and his disciples, and they've not even had leisure to eat at this point in the gospel story. If we back up just a little bit, Mark chapter 6, I encourage you to read the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6, these things have happened. Jesus' ministry has started. Mark's telling of the gospel story goes very quickly. He uses the word immediately, and things happen at a quick pace in Mark. And so Jesus is called to his ministry. He's baptized, receives the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 6, he goes back to his hometown, to his home country, his homeland in Nazareth, in the hill country, to preach, really, to read the word of God, to share with them that he's the anointed one. What happens in Nazareth, church? What happens to Jesus in Nazareth? They throw him out. He's rejected. Okay? Place yourself in Jesus' shoes in that moment. All these things, he's been waiting his life to be revealed as the one, right? To show the way, and he goes back to Nazareth, where he's been nurtured in community, his whole town. I can relate to this a little bit, because in my hometown, back in the mountains, a lot of people don't embrace female pastors. Jesus goes back to his hometown in Nazareth, and he gets this giant pushback. No, every time. And Jesus is so taken by this. Mark writes, if you go back and read it, that he can't do much there. It says he's without a lot of power there. He is able to heal some, but not with the power that he had been. His power as the Son of God is rejected by the people, and Jesus escapes this, I'm sure, with a heavy heart. So Mark chapter 6 starts with Jesus in his hometown. The people who know his name, who loved him, who, you know, did business with his father, with his family, and they have rejected him completely. Jesus moves to the important part of his ministry, as Mark tells it, in calling the disciples then. So he has this heavy thing of discerning and listening to the Holy Spirit and meeting these new people that he does not know and inviting them to be a part of this holy journey and the 12 disciples. So he moves to the work of calling the 12, and they begin to minister. And just as that happens in Mark chapter 6, Jesus receives the news that his cousin, the one who had prepared the way, the one who had baptized him, John the Baptist, is murdered brutally in prison. So here we have Jesus rejected, dealing with that. His power is constricted. He's dealing with these disciples that he's getting to know, and I'm sure he's rolling his eyes at it a little bit, going, can I work with these guys? And then just as all that happens, his cousin is killed. John the Baptist is killed. And they are still at a pace where the people are hungry for the word of God. And Jesus is moving, and crowds are gathering. And that's the coming and going that Mark describes in our reading for today. Is that they are so busy ministering, and Jesus has had to absorb all this as a human being, that they have not even taken a lot of time to eat. So Jesus looks at them and says, hey, we need a mini vacation, guys. We need to pull away to the other side of the lake, and we need to go to a deserted place, and we need to rest. And if you read forward, some important things happen forward from here. They started the boat going. What happens? They see, the people see where Jesus is going, and they're drawn to him. They're like, we can meet them by land. They're going on boat to this deserted place, but if we go around this way, we can catch them. And so we see this. We see Jesus, Mark then writes, as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, not a deserted place. This is Jesus who said, we need to rest. We've not had any leisure. There's a great crowd that's gathered. And then you see these important words. Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. So verse 34. This crowd had followed. It's a big crowd. The crowd grows. And Jesus just doesn't stop in this place of solitude to talk to them for a few minutes or preach a 20-minute sermon. He stays with them all day. They're hungry for what he has to share, and he continues to minister and preach to them. And he realizes by evening time that they are getting hungry. Did you notice I said earlier that Mark writes that Jesus and the disciples, they haven't even taken time to eat? And so here he is after pulling away them, after pulling away, they're teaching and they're with the crowd, and they notice that the crowd is hungry. And he has this dialogue, depending on which gospel you read, about how the crowd should be fed. The disciples say, send them away. And Jesus says, no, they're hungry. You find them something to eat. And then you know the story. The boys' lunch appears. This is the feeding of the 5,000 story. Happens right here in Mark chapter 6. So Jesus takes the boys' lunch. He blesses it. All are fed. I assume the disciples of Jesus got to eat there. We don't know. There's all this food, and the people are dispersed. And we know that by the end of the day, Jesus does pull away to the top of the mountain to pray. Now he does get some space.
As you think about the story, I put it before you to think about your own vacation time and the possibilities of it, and how we follow, how we're called to follow the way of Jesus Christ, even when we're on vacation. Even when we're in the leisure mode, you may have a big vacation planned ahead of you. You may have several get-togethers, some weekend things, some barbecues. The question is, what opportunity is there for you in the summer space to not only encounter Jesus, but to be like Jesus? That you have plans, man, but the vacation, my family's like this. Some days you have scheduled those excursions and you're on your way to do the thing, right? But where in the space of what you're doing this summer, whether it's a backyard thing, a family thing, or whether it's actually your vacation, is God maybe calling you to open up the potential within your rest and to see? To see with eyes of compassion? To see where you're called to live your faith, to lean into those commitments that we talk about? Sometimes you might be living one commitment, like I was trying on the second to go to worship, and then you're called to do something else, to perhaps serve. Jesus was on his way to a mini vacation, and he had compassion on the people. You might find yourself in a space where you're called to feed that hungry person that you come across on the streets in some city somewhere. You might find yourself being called to some other means of generosity, or just to have a holy conversation with someone. What you don't want to miss, and sometimes we do, is in the pace of things, of going and being Jesus values rest, or he wouldn't have said, let's pull away, of doing what you need to do to rest, that you miss the opportunity to be like Jesus, to have that holy encounter, that compassionate moment. I know we have some friends here in the room that study Richard Rohr. He's a priest, he's a holy person, teacher, author. And Richard Rohr has this concept that he shares with us, and he calls it divine flow. And I love this concept because Rohr says that in our life, when we follow the way of Jesus, when we try to emulate Jesus, we are not called to be spiritual. We're actually called to be fully human, as Jesus was human. And that within our cores, all of our cores, our resting, our work, our play, our leisure, that we are to engage into the divine flow of God's grace in the human life in that moment. That's what Jesus did. Jesus recognized the need to rest, to have leisure, to be with those within his inner circle. But when faced with an opportunity to be compassionate, he put that on hold for most of the day while he ministered. And while he was compassionate, while he saw the need for the ways of Christ and for his commitment to be lived out in a very powerful way. You know, we may not have that story of the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus has just said, I'm tired of you all. Y'all go away. But there's so many things that are taught in the sequence, which is Mark chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching us not how to be spiritual, but how to be the best human being. How to flow with God's grace in the moment and the call before us. So as you make your plans, and I know you've got some, barbecues, family get-togethers. Some of you all with younger children, it's a lot of practice time on the fields and things. Where is there opportunities for divine flow? For you to open up in your resting, in your activities for the summer, and to just be a means of God's grace in large and small ways. We've been in this year of the Big Dare and encountering Jesus, and so it brings about the question, how can you encounter and share Jesus during the summer, during all summer? Where are you looking for Jesus? Please, I think so many times we leave him behind. We leave the commitments behind. We're all on vacation now. We're just going to do all this. There's a great opportunity for us to really be the church. I always thought it would be fun if we all could go on vacation together. Wouldn't it be fun? Think about it. Wouldn't it be? It's like, oh, Forest Restoration this year, we're going to go to Yellowstone. Let's go. Right? And some of you have traveled together, and some of you have done study trips and mission trips, and you have great experiences with that. And logistically, it's just not possible for all of us to go on vacation together. But it is possible. It is possible in the summer and all that you're feeling a need to do, and it might be just to rest someplace, to pull away in solitude, know that Jesus did that, and encourage others to do this, is to take Christ with you in the center of that vacation. To go in, you're seeking that rest, you're seeking that restoration, but to go in and let God open your eyes to what's going on in the room, if you will, in nature, within your own family, within the wait person at your table, or the hotel staff, or the retreat staff, wherever you are, and to see where you're called to be compassionate, to be a means of God's grace, to flow with Jesus in the moment. And in that way, we all can go on vacation together as the people of Christ. We've given you a little tool this morning. I hope when you came in, you got one of these bucket list cards. It's pretty. We have families in the room, but it's for anybody. If you didn't get one, you can get one on your way out. I'm not sure if you did or not. Your pastors put some of these suggestions on the front as ways to deepen your commitment during the summer and to have some fun with it. On the back is a serious part, is to kind of think intentionally about what you're going to do in the summer that deepens your encounter. A fun thing that you can do individually or together that it deepens your encounter with Jesus. Use this as a worksheet. Put some things on your bucket list for the summer as a commitment that opens up your possibilities to see God at work around you, to see what's going on in the room right where you are and where you might be called like Jesus. Put something on hold and to be compassionate, to live into your faithfulness. With that in mind, and as you look at this and think about it for yourself and for your family, we have a visual prayer that I call us to just engage in and to think about our summertime.
May our eyes be open to the Word of God scribed on every leaf and petal, on every wing and paw. As the seasons unfold in their vibrant dance of change, may we hear the call from their pages to blossom forth, to bear fruit, to surrender and yield, to rest into mystery. Let the journey of caterpillar to moth teach you the path of transformation. Let the patience of mountains and singing of stones give guidance for what it means to endure. Let the rise and fall of the sun and moon circling the blue tiled sky teach you about journeys to fullness and to rest and release. May holy wisdom be revealed in each season, reading grace at every turn.
Jesus' work in the world. Amen.